Greetings. Welcome to today's Olive Tree and Lampstand Ministry program. I'm your host, Rick Rodriguez. Sunday, the 22nd of February, 2026. Podcasts will be on my website, thispresenttruth.com. Thispresenttruth.com. There are two sections. One is the Present Truth programs or the Olive Tree and Lampstand ministry programs. I'm recording today on the Olive Tree site. Again, this is the 22nd of February 2026. And you can write me, contact me, Rick Rodriguez, Post Office Box 872, Longmont, Colorado, 80502. I'm going through the 24th chapter of the book of Matthew. In my view, the clearest understanding of Christ's teachings on the time period from the time that he sat talking to the disciples, pointing to the temple, and all the way to his coming and his judgment of the nations. Chapter 24 concludes basically with the timeline in history up to the end of to the time of the judgment of the nations, the time of wrath. But chapter 25 of the book of Matthew speaks of the final punishment of the sheep and the goats, the nations. Not Israel, not the body of Christ. The body of Christ will have been resurrected to the judgment seat of Christ. Israel will have just met her Messiah. Christ, Messiah, Yeshua, Messiah, will have already revealed himself to the Jewish people in Jerusalem and in Israel. And now, in chapter 25 of Matthew, God will bring the nations, the good and the sheep and the goats, and judge them, and reward the sheep. I'm concluding with verses 4 through 8, which is the chronology of what to look for in the final years and the decade and decades and half a century and maybe three quarters of a century before Christ returns. Verse 8 presents sorrows and pains, anguish. The hardships begin, you might say, the pregnancy, like I've stated in previous programs. Pregnancy is, you might say, used as a background. And from the time of the beginning of a pregnancy, which had been 1948 when Israel becomes a nation, you have the gestation period, which would go 75 plus years to the time of the end of the pregnancy and the beginning of the... Actually, we are coming up to the 78th year of Israel becoming nation this year in 2026 on May the 15th. The pregnancy will be... And on the first day of what the Bible refers to as tribulation, which is described clearly in Matthew chapter 24, verse 9. Verse 8 ends the time of anguish, intolerable anguish, birth pains, hardships. That period, the period that we are presently in, is hard, difficult, but it's the best that the world is going to enjoy until Christ returns. From this point forward, hardships will increase. And in verse 9 of Matthew 24, I will read it. This is out of the Amplified Classic Bible. The birth now has occurred. The child has been delivered. The name of the child is Tribulation. Verse 9. Then they will hand you over to suffer affliction and tribulation and put you to death. You will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. In America, in Canada, in Europe, in Africa, India, China, South America, the true believers of Yeshua Jesus are being persecuted, and in many of the nations outside of the United States, they are being murdered. They are being killed. Now, verse 9 begins the first day of the tribulation, a tribulation that has part A, part B. Part A is 3.5 years. Part B is 3.5 years. This is years according to the Jewish calendar, to the prophecies of Moses and his timeline, timetable, calendar to the prophets of Israel. One day begins and ends at sunset. The day ends, the new day begins at sunset. Israel time, Jerusalem time. Months are 30 days, not 29, not 31. A month is a 30-day period. For the prophets of Christ, during the first part of the tribulation, on the first day of tribulation, we believers are to look at the calendars according to the timelines Moses gave the children of Israel. 30-day month, 360-day year. The Christian people, 1,260 days will be the length of the first half of the tribulation. On the 1,261st day, the Great Tribulation, the last 3.5 years, 1,260-day tribulation will commence. After that 1,260 days of the Great Tribulation, when it ends, the following day begins the period of time known as the wrath of God. Tribulation, Great Tribulation is ended. Now, the period known as the judgments of God on the earth, His wrath, will begin. Shortly after the 7-year tribulation, I would assume within the first 30 days, the resurrection of the believers that are born again in the body of Christ will have occurred. Within that 30-day period, after the 7-year tribulation, the judgments on the United States of America may have been completed. After the tribulation, after the 7 years, there is another period of time. The period of time after the tribulation will be split in two time periods, a 30-day time period and a 45-day time period. So after the tribulation is over, the first segment will be 30 days. The final segment, which will end this period of time before Christ's return and punishment of the nations, will be 45 days. So that is, after the 7-year tribulation, there is 75 days to the end. Now, when and what day Christ returns, we don't know the day, we don't know the hour, but we can know the year and the month and the season, which I'll get into in future programs. But to stay with Matthew chapter 24, it breaks down the time periods from the time of Christ viewing the temple, telling the disciples that the temple is going to be torn down, flattened, to his, which was a type of his resurrection. The temple, his body, would be torn down, and 3 days later, he would be raised up and begin a new plan that the prophets of Israel had spoken of in their writings, which would be a period of time, an extended period of time, where Christ, Messiah of Israel, the King of the Jews, would visit the nations of the world. He had initially visited his own people in the Gospels, but now he must visit the nations of the world, and it will take about a 2,000-year period of time. He will visit all of the sheep that were not initially in his fold. We are at the end of this period of time where Christ has visited through the Holy Spirit the nations. But at the same time, at the end, in the final 7-year period, prior to the resurrection that will occur right after the tribulation is concluded, Christ will visit many of his elect people, the Jewish people. There is a number that he wants to bring into his eternal kingdom, like the apostles and the Jews in the first century, the children of Israel. He will visit once again his people and give them an opportunity to meet Messiah before he meets them in the destruction that is to come at the time of Armageddon. He wants Jewish people of the 12 tribes of Israel that have been ordained to meet him, to receive him, to have their eyes opened, and to know him as the King of Israel, as their Messiah. There will be few, not many. Nevertheless, there will be Jewish people worldwide, in the United States and in Israel, that will meet Yeshua, the King of the Jews. Their eyes will be open. The balance of the Jewish people of the lineage that are truly Jewish will have to leave the countries of the world and go back to the land of their origin, back to Israel. Israel will expand its borders into present-day Jordan. The Christians that listen, that have studied prophecy over the years, you will understand what I'm saying. The area of Petra in Jordan, present-day Jordan, all of Jordan, from the north to the south, will become Jewish Israeli government property, because tens of thousands of Jewish people will have to flee into the nation of Jordan in the middle of the tribulation when Antichrist stands in the temple in Israel and declares himself to be the God of the Jews. He will declare himself to be the Messiah of the Jewish race and of the world. They will have to flee, which we'll get to in Matthew 24. I'm giving you an overview. On the first day of the tribulation, there are many events that will take place. Israel will sign an agreement with the United States for many different purposes, and basically will put hope in the United States of America to, I believe, firstly, get a promise from the President of the United States who signs the agreement never to invade Israel, to help and assist Israel, to protect Israel. There'll be many different reasons for the agreement. But it is the beginning of a treaty. It's a treaty. In Isaiah, Isaiah refers to it in Isaiah 28:15. It is called a treaty with death and with hell. Israel will sign an agreement with a foreign nation rather than to look to the God of its existence, and it will begin a divorce. The nation of Israel has divorced Yahweh. This will occur on the first day of the tribulation. Matthew chapter 24, verse 9, and it begins a serious set of events, dire, serious, negative direction for the children of Israel, and it will begin a hardship for the children of God, the born-again believers. So Daniel chapter 12, verse 11, this verse is speaking about the last day of the tribulation. Well, actually, it is speaking about the first day of the second, the great tribulation. And from the time that the continual burnt offering is taken away, and the abomination that makes desolate is set up, the middle of the tribulation. And from that time, Antichrist sets up an idol, a hologram, an avatar in the temple. And from that day going forward, there'll be 1,290-day period of time. 1,260 days will conclude the Great Tribulation. Now Daniel is saying there's an additional 30 days. This is the 30-day period in the last 75 days. This is the first part A, a 30-day period of time. In this 30 days, I believe the rapture or the resurrection, I don't want to use the word rapture, it's misleading. The first resurrection occurs in the first 30 days. The resurrection occurs, and after the resurrection, then God will begin the judgment on Babylon the Great of the end days, the great empire that has martyred the prophets and the apostles and the saints and caused grief to the nations of the world. The judgment begins. Blessed, this is verse 12 of Daniel 12. blessed, happy, fortunate, spiritually prosperous, and to be envied is he who waits expectantly and earnestly, who endures without wavering beyond the period of tribulation, and comes to the 1,335 days, the 35th day. So there's an additional 45 days after the initial 30 days. If you've gotten that far, which we who are believers, we will have been resurrected. We will have our new bodies. We will have appeared before Christ at the judgment seat of Christ to receive our rewards through fire. We all pass through fire, judgment, and those who have been faithful will enter into the millennial kingdom and the banquet feast of Christ and his bride. Those that have been unfaithful, they will be without the banquet hall. There will be torment, weeping, and pleading to please let us in. And Christ will tell those that are without, I never knew you. I never knew you. That doesn't mean that they are eternally lost. It just means that during their lifetime, they didn't get to know who the God, the true God that they met initially at some point during their lives. They were never faithful. They're not eternally cast off. Just for 1,000 years during the wedding feast, they don't get to enjoy the rewards banquet, the festivities for 1,000 years. They don't get to rule and reign with Christ during that time, that period of time, with their new bodies. So, verse 9 of Matthew 24 begins the final 1,260 days, a second 1,260 days, an additional 30 days, and a final 45 days. And then, at the end of that period of time, Christ will conduct all of the kingdom business, because on the first day of the millennial reign, the 1,000-year period of time, Christ can no longer, it's a Sabbath, it is the seventh day, he can no longer work. He has to judge the nations, judge the goats, reward the sheep, and then he will enter. As he passes by the eastern gate in Psalm chapter 26, no, 224, in chapter 24 of Psalms, he will pass by the east gate, which has been sealed, and he will look, and he will wait, and he will wait for the gate to be opened and the invitation to come to be the king of Israel. It's difficult there's so much to be explained, to so much that's happening with Matthew 24, verse 9. So much is happening. But in Psalm 24, at the end of the verse 7 says, lift up your heads, O you gates, and be lifted up, you age-abiding doors, and the King of glory, that the King of glory may come in. This is when Israel, the Jewish people that are still alive, they are to lift up The gates had been sealed. The doors had been shut. This is the King James translation. No, this is the Amplified. I'll stay with it, and then I can go to another translation. But verse 8 says, who is the King of Glory? Because Israel is just realizing who this King of the Jews, this Messiah that was crucified, this Messiah that was rejected, now they have a reality, they have a vision, they have a knowledge and understanding of who this King of Glory is. The Lord strong and mighty. Psalm 24:8, A, who is the King of Glory? B, the strong, the Lord strong and mighty. C, the Lord mighty in battle. This is the end in that last 45-day period, toward the end of that last 45 days. Then it says, verse 9, lift up your heads, O gates, yes, lift them up, you age-abiding doors, that the King of Glory may come in. Who is this King of Glory? The Lord of hosts. He's the King of Glory. Selah. So eventually, at the end of the last 45-day period, Israel will now have the reality of their God, who their ancestors rejected. The easy-to-read version, verse 7, old gates of the city, wake up, open now, to leave a wide path. Christ will come to the Mount of Olives. From the Mount of Olives, he will walk toward the temple. He will walk into the city, and he will walk by that gate, because he needs to go through that gate to go into the temple site to be anointed as Messiah, the King of the Jews and of mankind. Excuse me. Then the King will come in. Who is this great King? He is the Lord, capital L, who is strong and powerful. He just presented himself to the world. He is the Lord who wins against his enemies. He just revealed to the whole world his might, his power, his authority. He is the Lord who wins against his enemies. Be ready, you old gates of the city. Be ready to open wide. Then the great King will come in. Who is this great King? He is the Almighty Lord. Yes, he is the great King. That is what it will look like. We believers who have been faithful, we will be there to watch in our new bodies the King come to his elect people, to his ancient children, and they will now know him. They now will see this King, and they will now know that the time where they, the promises that were made to them, that there would come a time when they would rule the kingdoms of the world has now begun. All the work is finished. All the enemies have been judged. Everything is complete. Now the year of Jubilee begins. The year that Christ returns, the year that he comes back, I am looking at 2033, that will be the year of Jubilee in the fall. He will return in the fall. That will be the year of Jubilee. Right now, there is no real understanding as to which is the final 49th year of Jubilee, when all the property is returned to the original owners? Well, it will be on this day, when Christ returns, that the nations will all receive their initial property. They will be, Christ will return to all the nations of the world their inheritance. What has been taken by other countries, it will be given back. There will be no debt. All of Israel's debts will have been paid. Our debts were paid 2,000 years ago when Christ shed his blood. Our debts were paid, we believers. But now, all of Israel's debts, the Jewish people and the people of the world, their debts will all be forgiven. Everything will be forgiven. There will be no debt. No man will owe another man or a government a penny. This is the year of Jubilee. 2033, I am looking at that will be the year of Jubilee. So verse 9 is a very important period of time. Verse 9 of Matthew 24 is more involved and detailed and intricate than you could imagine. It begins, again, the days for the Christian people, for the prophets of Israel, for the prophets in America, the true prophets, the true apostles, the children of God that are born again, that want to know God's time, timing and plan for the future. On that very first day when that agreement is signed between Israel and the United States, at sundown, that ends the first day. The second day has begun. 30-day months, 360-day year, 1,260 days for the first half of the tribulation. Then you have another 1,260 days. The tribulation, the great tribulation, ends. Then you have a 30-day period. When it ends, you have a 45-day period. And then all work has to have been done. I believe that all of the work that must be carried out by Christ as a righteous judge will have been completed, because he cannot work, not even one day, not 1 hour, not 1 minute, and 1 second into the millennial kingdom. It is the Sabbath. Okay, with that timeline, on that day, an agreement will be signed. Who will the agreement be signed with? The many in Israel, Daniel chapter 9, verse 27. The many in, I'm going to read it to you. This is out of the easy to read translation, verse 27. The foreign ruler, so a foreign ruler, will make an agreement with the many people, with the nation of Israel, I believe, and with their, at that time, it'd be like their Knesset. And these people that make this agreement in Israel, I believe that they will be globalists. Within Israel, you have the leaders who Christ, or who Isaiah refers to as the blind scribes, the drunkards whose tables are full of vomit. He'll make an agreement for 1 week, a 7-year period. In the middle of the week, in the middle of that week, after 1,260 days, he will stop the sacrifices and offerings in the temple. Instead, he will put a disgusting thing there that causes trouble. It will remain there until God finally destroys the ruler who destroys. This, his end will happen at the time that God has decided. So something is placed in that temple. The Jewish people don't realize right now, and the Christian people, the believers who are their focus in life, their focus in their Christian view is the temple, the temple, the temple, the temple. They don't realize that by pushing for the temple and for the sacrifice, they are filling Bible prophecy. The Jewish people will get some form of sacrifice, some form of offerings in the temple for 3.5 years, for 1,260 days. But the temple has been built. God has allowed it to be built so that this individual, the one who is the destroyer, can have an audience on the 1,261st day, the first day of the last 3.5 years. He will stand in that temple with a disgusting thing, with he will declare himself to be God. Again, like I've stated, I'm not going to rush these programs. I feel that I'm not doing programs to do programs. My ministry is to assist God's children to have knowledge of what prophecy is presenting and the reality of the experience that prophecy will bring. Prophecy is going to bring negative experiences to the Christian people of the United States of America. And when the beast, and he will become a beast on that day, when he declares himself to be God, it will be on that day that he will put something in that temple. There will be an avatar, something that is alive, something that is knowing, something that is able to, like the human mind, grasp and make decisions. And right now, today, as I'm doing this program on Sunday the 22nd of February 2026, the explosion in the computer world with AI, artificial intelligence, the men who have engineered this type of technology, computer technology, this type of digital, all this engineering, they're going to use it for this coming leader of the United States of America to place something in that temple physically that can keep you from buying and selling, something that you can worship, that you can see. Now, it's much deeper than that. It will be on that day that mankind will be given the ability to receive the mark of the beast. And what this means is to receive Satan in your spirit, in the spirit of man. These people will eternally forfeit their soul and close the door to their human spirit and never be able to ever receive Jesus Christ and be eternally saved. There is some type of, I can't explain it. I have an understanding of what it is, where the human spirit is actually closed. The door to the human spirit will be closed, and at the same time, the human spirit will be contaminated, and it will be, the allegiance will be to, simply, the allegiance will be to the devil. And there can be no, that is an unpardonable sin. The ultimate unpardonable sin. There is no chance for eternal salvation. It is ended. The opportunity is over. So I'll back up now. I'll continue this flow into the next program, because I really need 6 hours to bring everything together. For the Christians that have knowledge and understanding of Bible prophecy, we will witness who the individual who will sign the agreement with Israel on that day. So number one, we'll know who the individual is. It will be hard to fathom, to comprehend. It's too frightening. The experience will be shocking. We will know the nation of his power. That is going to be very difficult for Christians. The American Christians presently are, I have to be careful how I present this. We are one of the most blessed Christian bodies that the church age has ever known. But on the other hand, we are the most cursed because we are deceived. The Christians in this country are very, very deceived. The reason is because of the lack of quality of godly leaders through the last 60, 70, 80 years. Time that where we had the best colleges, the best Christian universities, the access to computer technology to study the Bible, accurate Greek, Hebrew, the best, to build the best, a church that is with power, holy, that is godly, that is righteous, that is upright. And we, for the most part, the great percentage of the body of Christ in the United States of America is apostate. I say that because this is exactly what Paul the Apostle in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 stated would be the case to the final generation of believers. And in chapter 2, chapter 2 of Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, Paul addresses the United States of America in that chapter. Now you see why I'm going to have to spend more time. I can't present everything to you in an hour or two or three, because everything flows. I just flowed to Psalm 24. Christ will walk by the temple and be invited in to be anointed king. Now 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, the United States of America, a restrainer that restrains evil on the earth for a period of time. It is a document of man. It is not the Holy Spirit. Many believe, many Christian theologians believe that the restrainer is the Holy Spirit. It is not. If it was the Holy Spirit, this country wouldn't be in the shape it's in as a country, and the churches in America wouldn't be in the destructive state that we are in. It is a law. It is a document. The restrainer is the Constitution of the United States of America. You can go to previous programs back 6-7 years when I was on the radio. I've even 20 years ago, when I began ministry in Las Vegas, Nevada, I would mention that the restrainer is a legal document. It is a constitution. And it is going to be shredded. And when it is shredded, it will bring about lawlessness. And you can see presently, the Constitution, our Constitution, is basically, is not handicapped. It is crippled. It is almost powerless. To the prophets in the audience, to the believers who have gifted, been gifted by the Lord and ordained by the Lord as prophets with the giftings of the prophet. I include sisters too, but the sisters, you must have everything checked in what you present to men who have experience and have maturity, because I've been around too many women who have prophetic abilities, and their accuracy rate they're drifting between accurate and inaccurate, or partially inaccurate, or totally inaccurate. In the past, people that I could mention names, you would know them. I have talked to one out of Colorado who was one of the prophetesses of this country, of this state, and of the country now. And I would visit with her a few times, and she wanted me to give her my insight, my prophetic words. And the Lord told me, absolutely no way. She will take what she can get, wherever she can get it, and she will stamp her name to it. So I was not allowed to even continue. I still have her number in my contacts. But I've watched her through the years. She's getting worse. She's getting more well-known. More people like her. They hold her in high esteem. Well, her prophecies have been very, very... She picks up what she can pick up. It's like picking up dust as you go through a... Yeah, as you're in an environment where there's a lot of dust, you're just picking up whatever the static whatever has a static charge will cling to you. So with the prophets, I say this, and there are prophets in this country, and there are a few apostles, not many, a few. There are no female prophet apostles, no such thing, never has been, never will be, period. I know that many of the pastor friends that I have, they don't agree. That's fine. I know the ways of God don't change. They are constant always. But we are in a nation that is apostate. And the pastors of the land, I will say this. I was anointed for ministry. And I was not anointed to be a pastor. I was anointed to be a minister. And that means that whatever was needed, I have the anointing of the Lord to present and use the different giftings that the Lord has given me for you. And that you would be holy, that you would be given to the Lord, that you would be honest, that you would be real with Him. And then with your attitude being genuine and honest, then the Holy Spirit can visit you and answer your prayers and help you to grow, number one. The objective is to grow, to know the truth, and then to assist where needed. And many of the pastors of the land, yes, they are gifted as pastors, but they lack other giftings which they have one path that they exercise on every day, every month, every year. They do not leave what they're comfortable with. Even when the Lord is coaching them, coaxing them, nudging them, succoring them to go, you know, off track, off trail, and they won't. And this is what the Lord does with people who have been gifted. But just because you're gifted doesn't mean you've been ordained to positions of responsibility and authority. This is the big mistake. Many young, especially now, more than ever, there are many young people who they are dynamic. You look at, I'll finish this thought and add to it. They are eloquent. They are everything that I hate to put it this way. They just have male testosterone. And they think that gives them the ability to stand in front of congregations and lead congregations nowhere. It is a nowhere ministry. It is a ministry that has no long, no direction in the things of God, in the ways of God, and in the plan of God. If you don't know prophecy, and these men don't, they run from it, you can never know where God is headed. God presently, right now, in Matthew chapter 24, verse 9, the future, it tells you the future for the Christian people. It is hardship. It is death. It is persecution. And the men who are just nothing but testosterone, ambition, and haven't been called by God, number one. They've never been called by the Lord. And because of that, they are danger. They are nothing but sheer danger. You don't put a young individual that is never called to be a high-speed pilot at the controls of a piece of equipment that is very dangerous. And then what they do is they want people to get on board with them. And when they fall out of the sky, everything they have done is destroyed. The craft is destroyed. They are destroyed. Their marriages are destroyed. Their wife and their children and everyone that has followed them, they all have suffered great harm, some to never recover again. And what happens when people follow these type of people? Those in the audience, you are no less guilty than the pastor, because you didn't have the wisdom or the understanding or the knowledge to realize that you were in danger. But you want what you want. You want somebody dynamic, handsome, or you want to be part of the ministry. You want to be in the office. You want to be out on the platform. You want to be in the choir, in the music section, not realizing that you also are going to suffer. Then these individuals don't even know who in their congregation is born again and who isn't, who in the congregation are working in a coven with other people in the congregation to destroy the lives of the young girls, or the young girls sent in to destroy the lives of the young men, to bring in, to basically destroy the future of young Christians. Some of the covens in Denver, the young girls go in to defile the young boys. And the young men that go in are there to defile the young girls. And the pastors don't have a clue. The churches in the United States of America don't realize what's coming. I'm telling you, Matthew chapter 24, verse 9. We are in a period that's going to be the best period that we in this country and Christians that you have ever experienced. You are in the best time right now, as difficult as it is. This is the best. It's not going to get any better. This is it. Work while it is yet day. Get out of debt. Get out of bad relationships. Consecrate your life to the Lord. You have wonderful days ahead. We are all going to need the mercies, the tender mercies of Almighty God in the days to come. Okay, so again, the programs are on the website, thispresenttruth.com. You've got two sections, the Olive Tree and Lampstand Ministry site or the Present Truth site. This program is on the Olive Tree site. It's a ministry site. ThisPresentTruth.com. Contact me, Rick Rodriguez, P.O. Box 872, Longmont, Colorado, 80502. P.O. Box 872, Longmont, Colorado, 80502. And I'm going to continue with Matthew 24, verse 9. It's too deep in the next program. But until then, I do pray that God blesses you mightily, mighty, more mightily than you can even imagine. May He bless you. May He keep you and your children and everyone that you love. God bless you until the next program.